For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
When I go to Sacramento, I will pump up Sacramento.
Turner Sparks just got married and has moved home to America after 12 years living in China. Sir Michael Ira Kaplan has two kids, a wife, a job, and has spent his entire life in the USA. Neither one can figure their country out. This is Lost in America.
All right, everybody, welcome to Lost in America, episode 190. My name's Turner Sparks.
And I'm Michael Kaplan.
You can find me at Turner Sparks on Instagram. You can find Kaplan at Cap'n America on Instagram. On the podcast today, Kaplan, we have the great Isaac Jansen, Swedish comedian, joining us. I met him years ago in Sweden. He is now waiting in the wings, but we're not going to let him talk yet because we want to tell him about his country.
We've decided that our guests get to talk too much right off the bat, and we got to change that.
Exactly.
We do the talking.
Too much of them, not enough of us.
Exactly.
So we have him on today to talk about the coronavirus, the COVID-19 pandemic, but specifically in Sweden and how they've dealt with it. And Kaplan, they've taken the exact opposite approach of us, right?
Right. They have, my understanding is, and I believe I'm always, we're correct on everything.
Yes.
And I believe they've done nothing. What I've heard is Sweden has been like a grand experiment, the guinea pigs of this operation, where they've done no social distancing, no rules, just they kind of trust people to do the right thing.
Yeah. In that sense, it's not the exact opposite of us, actually, because it's on paper, we really like played by the rules. But in actual fact, people are just out partying in Long Island City, Queens right now. So that's what we're having. We want to figure out why, what happened with them. So because I also, from what I understand, they're doing better than us now. So they basically, they did nothing and it worked.
Yeah, they're like the Trump's showing his advisors, like, see, that's why I don't want to do anything. Because the Swedish, we should be copying the Swedish.
What
do you think the reason they didn't do anything was? Because I always thought they were a classic European country, like classic.
Well, let's start with what do you know about Sweden in general, Cap?
Yeah. So I think of them as like classic Europe, except good looking. You know, they're not like the English with the bad teeth. They're like, they all look like Bjorn Borg or Stefan Edberg. That's my classic Swedish guy. The women are all, you say Swedish girl. If you use that as an adjective, people assume you're talking about someone who's hot.
Yes. Yes. Like, she looked like a Swedish. Yeah.
Swedish girl. So yeah. They're good looking people. So I think that's probably part of the reason why they like to party. They couldn't be told us. They could not be told to social distance for months.
Maybe their government knew it wasn't going to work anyway. They're like, we're not going to keep all these hot people inside.
Right. They're like the Ozark people, but good looking is my opinion.
Like the Missouri, but good looking.
The Missouri, but good looking people. And they also, things work out for them. I feel like it's a country that Sweden's always in the top of every chart of best medical care, best economy, but they're always good at everything. So I feel like they thought like, it'll just work out because we're Swedish. We're good looking. Things work out for us. We don't need to shut everything down.
Well, one of my favorite facts that I know about Sweden, which is limited, but one of my is that they have a Midsummer's festival. It's like this party in the middle of the summer, and the whole point of it is to celebrate summer. Like all of our holidays in America. Yeah, something like that. All of our holidays in America, it's like we celebrate because Jesus was born, Jesus died, we started a war, or we ended a war. Like those are the four options. Or, and then for them, it's just like, hey, summer's here. So, and then that's all.
Well, so it's probably colder most of the year, right?
I don't know. We'll have to ask.
I say it's cold. It's Sweden. It's north. Everyone's blondish.
But yeah. So maybe the president was like, listen, summer's coming. I'm not these, you know, summer festival, midsummer.
We've already planned it. We have a theme this year.
We've already planned it. It's Enchantment Under the Sea.
Yeah, exactly. You know? And that's a big, because they're not the types of people who like to stay inside and watch movies. Because I went on one date in high school with a Swedish girl and I took her to see Pulp Fiction, one of the great movies of all time. And she hated it. She didn't understand any of it. Even though she spoke perfect English, she didn't get any of the jokes. So my opinion is they just don't like movies. They don't like to sit inside. They don't like to be cooped up. They like to be outdoors. So again, the guy's like, well, there's no way we're going to get these people. I don't want to turn on the people.
And also somehow they can be trusted to like just social distance. Where our everyone else, we're all jumping in hot tubs and getting drunk on Bud Light and yeah, making out with ugly people.
Yeah, I know. Like this girl in high school didn't make out with me. And I paid for I paid for Red Robin burger and a movie and I didn't get any makeout. So you're right. She kept a social distance. She was ahead of the curve.
All right. So maybe that's it. So Isaac Janssen, welcome to the show. World touring stand-up comedian Isaac Janssen, multiple albums. We also didn't read your credits. You have you recorded an album in Iceland, which I want to hear about later. But also I met you in China a long time ago. How did we do? Let's start there. How did we do on our knowledge, our well-researched knowledge of your great country?
I think the most scandalous was that you got to pick two beautiful looking people and you chose Stefan Edberg and Björn Borg.
They're the only Swedish men I ever knew before you.
You could have chosen so many people and you just went for tennis.
We had a Swedish, Kaplan, you were looking at a Swedish person.
I know before, I didn't want to, you know, I meet you until right now, so I didn't want to call you, but you're a very attractive man, no less, tell the audience, very handsome.
Apparently, if you're holding a tennis racket, that's enough for Michael. That's just.
I was impressed. A ball over I'm net. A big Wimbledon fan. If you can win Wimbledon, I find you very attractive.
Yeah, that's true. It was pretty accurate, I think.
Midsummer's Festival. Did I get that
yeah,
right?
Yeah, that is kind of right. It's I think that's like an old like a Viking pagan thing, and then they kind of just.
Is it a solstice thing or?
I think that because they have like a big, it's called a midsommarstång. It's like a big cross with flowers around it, and they stick it into the ground. It's like a fertility symbol.
Yeah, Kaplan, I did this. I did comedy one time for like a midsummer's festival event in Shanghai. It was all the Swedish people living in China.
Wow. There's enough Swedish people in China to throw an event.
Yeah, but there's not enough to get a Swedish comedian. there's one.
They're like, you're white.
One more. Yeah, they're like, you look close enough.
You're pretty sweet, yeah.
So they just got me, and they dance around this. It's like a cross, which in my head, you know, because I'm American, so every holiday is Jesus-based. So I'm like, oh, it's a Jesus. It's a crucifix. And they're like, no, it's not. And then they stuck it into the ground. I'm like, oh, you're like sticking a crucifix. No, they're like, no, that's representing like having sex. And I was like, oh, these people know how to party.
So that's when they make all the babies? Is that summertime? When all the groomers? Yeah.
Yeah, probably, yeah. I think the midsommarstång is supposed to represent the penis going down into like the wet. Oh.
Wow. Yes.
You know. This is
that's kind of problematic because it's assuming that you have to be a man and a woman to be fertile. It's really they gotta cancel that soon.
No, I think they've actually been these kind of alternative midsummer fests where they've had like a big vagina that they've danced around and stuff like that.
Oh, so, there you go. They're on top of it.
Yeah, so
two crucifixes just hitting each other, maybe.
Yeah.
I prefer to dance around the big vagina than the penis myself, but you know.
That's
So what's going on with like let's start from the beginning. Who decided? Because I think you guys are one of the only countries that was like, we're not gonna do anything, right?
Well, that's kind of what we're getting criticized and
you're known for it now. You're famous.
Yeah, known for it. Yeah, which is kind of unusual because Sweden is very much a country that just kind of falls in line and does what everyone else does. And especially the weird part is about like Sweden is a very, you know, socialist kind of country. We have a social democrat a party that's run the country for many, many years. So in general, we're very much like a strong state that makes decisions for us. And then just suddenly the government is like, no, we trust you guys. And all the Swedes are like, what? Okay. So everyone kind of panicked in the beginning almost and didn't understand how to work with freedom in that way. But
was there a reason, like, was it polls that showed that people wanted this? Or is it just that this is the prime minister? Is it a prime minister or you got a president? What do you guys have there?
No, we have a prime minister, but there's like a health, a health institute. It's called the Folkhälsomyndigheten. And they have a guy called Anders Tegnell, which has almost become like a father's figure for the country almost. Like people are pressing up t-shirts and
Does he do daily press conferences?
Yeah, yeah, he does the press conferences.
Oh, really? He's your Cuomo.
He's from the start, like been talking about the importance of like not closing down the country, because apparently what their motive is that that will lead to more problems with mental depression and suicides and stuff like that. So like they will rather keep the society kind of going than closing it down. And so that's been the whole, the strategy
strategy started in March or February, or kind of when it was started kicking off everywhere else around the world.
Yeah, I think I can actually look at my calendar, because I see where where the gigs just stopped kind of. So it's like March. They started doing some small restrictions, and then they stopped. You couldn't do a gig for 500 people.
500.
And then they cut it down to 50. So right now it's no more than 50 people in a room.
So they do have rules. No rules. There's rules on the amount of people in the room. What about restaurants? Are there rules on them?
Yeah, they've got rules. They have to have like 1.5 meter between. I don't know how much that is in feet.
That's like 5 feet, 4.5 feet.
Yeah. So in between the tables and everything. But like, I think like now this summer, last month or something, it feels like everyone's just kind of tired of it. So no one's really doing it full on, you know, like.
Yeah, that happened here. But for here, it's 6 feet because we're fatter, you know. So if we have an extra foot they have to put between people, because you make it up in the belly size.
Yeah, exactly.
But actually in Sweden, they one of the arguments to not closing down society was that we have a better a general health. Like our health in general is better.
That's my thing. You're good looking. You're healthy. Look at that.
Kaplan was right on that one.
It'll work out for you, right?
All we do is stick big sticks down into that we think are vaginas, and we play tennis. That's all we do.
Yeah, that's all you do. You can't, there's never been an attractive homeless person, so they can't create an economy with a bunch. Yeah, you got to keep the economy going.
Well, if you're attractive, you're not going to be homeless for long. Somebody will pick you up. You know?
There you go.
Back in the house.
So they closed. What about masks? Did they make anybody wear masks in the beginning?
No masks in Sweden. No.
No masks? Really?
No. There's no masks at all, actually. I think the only time you have to have a mask is if you get on a plane to go somewhere else. So there's. I don't think there's any masks in Norway, Denmark, or Finland either. I think they're none of the
And it doesn't, because I don't think we've said this yet on the podcast, your numbers started out low and they were low for a while. And it seemed like, oh, wow, this worked. This whole doing nothing is the best policy. And then they spiked. But the whole country has about 10 million people, right?
Yeah.
So it's half the size of the state of New York, population wise. And then they spiked for a little while. And then, I don't know, was it like 1,000 a day, maybe in new cases, somewhere in that range?
No, not that much. I think total is 6,000.
Total is 6,000. Okay, yeah, so now it's down to like 45 new cases a day. So it did go up, but then it came down. When it went to the top, did the policy change at all?
They had some more restrictions, but they didn't really change anything. They didn't do the hard... what's it called? The lockdown kind of thing.
Quarantine.
Shelter in place.
Yeah. No, it was still, they told people to kind of work from home and kind of be careful and wash your hands and stuff. There's lots of, recommendations more. So,
how did it work? I don't understand. Like, it's just a natural, summer came and
it got hot out, like Trump said, and it worked in Sweden.
I mean, what's crazy about this, Isaac, is it's all proving, it's a test case, like basically proving everything that Trump kind of is like ignoring this the whole time. You know,
I'm pro-Trump, by the way. Have I told you that?
Yeah. We don't discriminate on this podcast.
But I mean, I hope you are, because all the MAGA people are going to move to Sweden once they hear this podcast. They're going to be like, oh, this is what we want. We don't have to wear masks. We don't have rules.
By the way, if anyone doesn't get the irony, I'm not pro-Trump, but it doesn't matter. But
it doesn't translate to
But if he listens to this podcast, this is like our chance for success. He will retweet this, and there'll be like 10 million people following your guidelines.
Yeah, you'll get a crowd that you didn't expect. I think
a crowd of Bjorn Borg looking.
There's no way to escape, though. What you're saying, though, is falling in line with what he said, which is fascinating to me.
But one thing I heard is that. Swedish people in general have a very high, they have a high They trust authority.
Oh, trust authority.
Okay. So when the government says, like, do this and this, they in general, they do it in a much more extent than, for example, you know, in Spain and Italy and kind of southern European countries, there's more of this kind of rebel attitude towards the state.
America definitely has that. That's our thing. So.
And so, so that was one of the arguments, too, is that we don't really need to lock it down or kind of enforce it in any way, because people are going to do it anyway. And people have done it, I guess, pretty much. I think so far, even though the numbers are bad with the deaths and stuff, with 6,000 deaths, we haven't strained the healthcare system, which was the whole point of the restrictions and stuff. Right. So I think that's...
So you only have 6,000 deaths total in the country of 10 million?
I think so, yeah.
Because New York has about, what do we have, 32,000 deaths?
I mean, Isaac, we have 7,000 in my county and 7,000 more in Kaplan's County, which is like 15 minutes.
Do you not
away.
Have yeah. old people, or do you not have nursing homes? Like, I don't understand.
No, but the weird thing is that in Sweden, it's like right now the discussion is that we kind of failed, because if you look at Norway and Finland and Denmark, they have way lower numbers.
Right. Because they had rules, like they had lockdowns and stuff.
But compared to us, you guys are a miracle.
Yeah, I guess. But I don't know. It's really weird, because like in the beginning, everyone was like, "Oh yeah, we figured it out." But then things kind of turned there. But the explanation is that the disease got into the healthcare. What do you say? Like the elder homes, older?
Yeah,
nursing homes. Yeah,
nursing homes.
And so that's when the stats went up.
What's the throughout the whole thing, what's been the opinion of the public? Like, has the public been split? Like, people are like, we should be locked inside, and other people are like, no, freedom, or how's that gone down?
I think there's still kind of been a very I don't know. I mean, we're always in you're always in kind of a filter bubble. Everyone is. So I guess I don't know how much is just the people that I reach out to, but most people seem very positive to the strategy. And, you know, people are complaining, even though we have like the least kind of strict quarantine. People are like, oh, it's so boring and nothing's happening. It's like, yeah, but this is nothing.
Oh, they're saying it's too much? Like,
yeah,
it's
super people are complaining.
Actually, they don't like to watch movies. No.
And what about the economy? How's it done through all this? Because like ours is cratered.
Yeah, I don't know. I think it's. I mean, obviously it's going bad for everyone. But
people have jobs.
Well, did your government do like a some sort of plan for people who are losing jobs? Like some sort of. I know you're pretty socialist to begin with, but did they increase the like pay people to not work or anything like that, or increase unemployment or?
Yeah, they have those, what do you call it, support packages or what they're called. So, for example, for like if you're working in arts and culture, there's a lot of people have gotten like money from the state, and then people are complaining that they're not getting enough money. But
as a comedian, sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off, but this is an important topic. Yeah. As a comedian, I heard that in Germany, in Canada, and I guess in Sweden, they're giving comedians, like they consider a comedian a real job, and then comedians get money. Crazy. Like they don't do that. In America, we're lumped in with the welfare system, which is fine, but there's no specific package for comedians. They don't consider us like real people in terms of.
You're not real people.
Meanwhile, there's more stand-up comedians in America than everywhere, right? Than anywhere.
Yeah, I guess, but I think the weird thing is that we're kind of competing to get money from like, you know, the opera and like stuff like that, which is kind of unfair because the opera gets money all year round and comics don't. And then when everything goes to shit, the opera gets still more money. And we comics are like, we can manage any other day of the year. So why are we?
You're right. You know, this opera, a bunch of freeloaders, those opera singers.
They eat double too.
I mean, they do. So
how do you prove you're a comedian? Like what's the, because that's been always the argument against a comedy union in America or any benefits for comedians is like, well, anyone can say they're a comedian. And I'll tell you something in New York City, about 75% of the city says they're a comedian. They do an open mic one time and then they start posting online how like, oh, it's tough being a comedian, you know, on the road. How do you prove like that that's your job?
Oh, well, technically you can just, when you're applying for your own company, there's actually a code for like a stand-up comic.
Whoa.
And you can just...
Do they have podcaster too?
It's going to be there, I guess, pretty soon, because so many people are working with it. But so you could apply that. But you can also, I guess, you can prove income, I guess, and then you could probably get money from the state. So
that's one way they're thinking about doing it, not with the government, but through unions or whatever, is that if you can prove, like, well, I made a minimum of $20,000 last year performing stand-up comedy, then you can be in. But is that some way they do it, or you literally just have to write down, this is what I do for a living?
Well, I think to get the money, you have to kind of prove that you actually make money off it. But do stand-up comedians in the US, are they like, what do you say, like, what do you call it? Like, in Sweden, it's called svart jobb. It's like you don't pay taxes. Like you do it under the
No.
Well, Turner doesn't, because he's got a good account, Gary Sparks. But
well, no, I have creative accounting. I pay the taxes that I'm supposed to pay. You get a good CPA and you get a good accountant, and you can work.
But you send like invoices and you pay taxes. Like So you could prove income.
Yes.
Being a stand-up comic in the U.S. too. So it would be.
I think a lot of them don't. I mean, but that was kind of like an 80s thing. I think like in the 80s and early 90s, the comedian was like one step ahead of like a carnival worker.
Oh, yeah.
They're trying to stay ahead of the law as much as they can. So they're like moving from town to town, never reporting anything. But those days, and they were all like alcoholic drug addicts dying at age 40. Those days are kind of over. And now it's more like if you want to actually make a living, you have to play by the rules a little bit, you know?
So I don't think if you're just a, you know, open mic comic getting paid in beer, I don't think you get the beer from the authorities.
Yeah, the government doesn't give you money for that.
No, even though the Swedish government is very generous in a way.
Yeah.
But, you know, people are complaining anyway because people think that they're not giving out enough money.
There you go.
But there was actually a big debate now about these big artists that make lots and lots of money that actually got the support
did
package.
Did ABBA get money?
no, but it's like big artists that make like 10 million crowns something per year or something, and they still got the package for some weird reason.
Ah, the artist. So can I ask, what was the artist package? How much money was it?
I think it's different. I think it's I don't even know. I actually haven't. I haven't applied for it myself. So,
is it based on how much you made the previous year, or something like that?
Yeah, something. Yeah, I think there's different steps. I don't really know.
I see what you're saying, though. They had a similar thing in America. They were giving out small business loans, to keep business going. And like the LA Lakers, it turns out, took $6 million.
A lot of major. They set it up to be like they wanted to do quickly, but so then it was like a lot of big companies were like Shake Shack and others were. We're taking advantage. So that makes sense.
Yeah, that's kind of the deal.
So the original idea? Oh, go ahead, Cap.
No, I was gonna. No, go ahead. I was gonna say though. Do you guys feel like in general, like you're the America of Europe, like for the first time ever? Like, how does it feel to be that? Because you're doing, you're saying the numbers are good, but they're higher than the rest of Europe, I believe. So like, in a way, right? Because you had the last round of rules. So
yeah, are you allowed to travel to the rest of Europe, or are they like no Swedes allowed in?
No, they've opened that up. There's a couple of countries that are still closed to Sweden. I think actually Denmark might be closed to Sweden. Like it's really weird. We can go to Greece and Spain and Italy and a couple of
Why would you even want to go to Denmark in the summer? Go to Greece and Spain. I mean.
But I mean, like.
Have you traveled?
Yes. No, I haven't gone anywhere. I had a kid in September. So basically I've lived quarantine life without having quarantine. So.
Yeah, because I was wondering when he said so Spain and Greece, I was thinking about in the summer, those are major party destinations in like these islands. Is that going on? Are people in like Ibiza and all those places?
Yeah. There's this big article now about people that they took as soon as they released the restrictions, they got on the first plane and went to Greece, and they were complaining that the buffet wasn't
who's eating a buffet right now? My god. People
and then it was kind of like people back home were just like, oh, you idiots, how can you just like the day after they release the restrictions and you're down in Greece.
Are they writing a negative Yelp review about the restaurant buffet? Is there any viral shaming? Because in America, every time people go to the beach or a party, it gets on, it's all over social media, yeah, pictures of them. Is that going on with these people at least?
Yeah, that's the same thing here. That was also like, because before we even had the not more than 50 people in a room thing, a lot of shows closed down because they were getting like publicly shamed for keeping open, even though they were following all the rules and stuff. So
these are comedy shows you're talking about?
Yeah. There's some like rebel comedy shows that I've run the whole time, just kept it really small.
Have you been doing any of those
rebel comedy?
No, I haven't. I've done like in June, July, I've done, I think 4 gigs now.
Three. So to 50
I have one.
Indoors?
2 outdoors, 1 indoors, yeah.
2 outdoor indoors. Okay, and so that hasn't caused, because New York City is still 100% shut down for indoor anything. So people are popping up. But all the comedians still live here, you know?
Yeah.
So everyone's doing shows in parks and parking lots and on rooftops and all that kind of stuff, which is fine, but it's nothing indoor. But the accepted kind of like logic is that anything, if you do if you have an event of 50 people indoors, it's just kind of accepted that all 50 of those people are going to get coronavirus and then you're going to be a big asshole. But that hasn't happened with you guys. None of these indoor events have exploded into outbreaks or anything. They've kind of decided here that outdoors, anything is fine. Indoor, anything off limits.
Yeah. I think the latest numbers, I think, was that they suspect that Stockholm has a 40% immunity right now.
How much?
Herd immunity.
Like like a 40%.
Of 40% of people then got it at some point?
Yeah, so apparently they have the, I don't know, I'm not an expert, but I think it's the antibodies or something.
So that shows that you guys have a much, that is, your immune system is better. I mean, they're healthier because they don't have all the underlying health conditions Americans have, I guess.
So 40% of people got it.
Not that many deaths.
But didn't have, a lot of people didn't have symptoms.
Yeah, so that's what I heard in Stockholm. I feel like I'm like carrying the entire.
The idea of this podcast is so our listeners, when they go to a cocktail party next week, can be a real blowhard and spew information to people that they kind of heard on a podcast. So this is perfect. This is
want our listeners. They've been in quarantine for months. We want them to come out of it and be like the sharp. We want them to dominate a cocktail party, be the most interesting person in the room.
If they're on a first date, any mansplaining, this is what we want
to
get.
Yeah, it doesn't have to always be accurate, as Turner reminds me often. You gotta be confident with your blowharding.
Yeah.
So if that's what it is, tell everyone, all of our listeners, Stockholm is 40% herd immunity. That's all you
40%,
need to say.
40%, say that on your next date.
It's such a sad thing with the date starting with the guy starting talking about a stick going down into the ground.
That's a good one too. Festival. We're going to make a list of all the...
Because you know, every American like thinks they're like really connected to whatever their heritage is in Europe, even though it's like 500 years back. So maybe you're on a first date and you say to the girl, where are you from? And she's like, well, my ancestors are from Sweden. Boom, you're ready to go.
Yeah.
And she's not going to know because she's probably never been to Sweden.
You've got a whole thing about how your ancestors created you, how the whole line started at a Midsummer Festival, the fertility.
Yeah. So at the comedy shows, is the audience like tentative or scared at all? Or what's the mental state of everyone?
Yeah, I think it's now like just recently this summer now, the last month or something, some of the comedy clubs are starting again, but with restrictions and the tables apart and stuff like that. But I think the big hurdle is, of course, to get people to just dare to go to the comedy show. I don't think the problem is having the comedy show or having people there in that way. But I think just right now, people aren't in the mood to sit tight in the basement, which is kind of the best way to do
it's
comedy.
It's kind of a death chamber.
Yeah.
Yeah. Right,
especially with funny comedians. Maybe you want ones that won't make you laugh as much. But
yeah, the comedians are going to bomb are going to be the ones getting booked all over the place because nobody's laughing is the worst thing for spreading the virus.
Yeah, but I guess, you know, I mean, the clubs that are open, they're not like the big, it's more like the indie kind of scene that's opening. It's like the small kind of Stockholm clubs that usually has like a younger audience. So I guess you know, in a way.
Age limits.
I think they're not like getting, you know, the risk groups. So they're not going to comedy. So I think it's, or and maybe they were the 6,000 that passed. I don't know.
If you show up to a show and like everyone's over 70, you just got to like leave. Don't do the show. You can't have that on your conscience.
Yeah.
What about schools in Sweden? Have they stayed open, like elementary, middle school, high schools?
They've been open the whole time.
Open.
But you have school in the summer?
Is Kaplan.
That's what I'm confused about. Europe seems to have school in the summer, right? It's not like our, you don't have farmers. You're not on the farmer program, right? Where you,
in
America,
farmers.
Because of farmers.
Sweden doesn't have farmers, according to Kaplan.
Because of farmers, our kids don't have school for like 3 months in the summer normally. So, but Europe, that's not the rule, right? You have school year round, or how does it
work? No. We have a summer.
I'm blowharding. 12 months a year school?
I don't know. I thought I read about Germany did that or something. I don't know what they do in Sweden. But are they in school right this second, or they're off?
I think right now, they're off now. But they've had school open the whole spring and stuff.
And so. No problems.
Yeah, because that was also like they said that. Because of the, you know, like the people in the healthcare system, they need to be able to go to work and have their kids at school.
Exactly.
So like the thing was like, if we take the kids out of school.
This is all like the Trump
That's
platform.
What de Blasio said too in the beginning. And so they didn't shut down the New York schools for an extra week.
This is amazing. Sorry, keep going.
Yeah. So that was the argument. And so that was what we've kind of done, I guess.
And there's been no crazy outbreaks at the schools, because I need to make this argument at the next meeting for my school district as we discuss reopening for my schools in
Kaplan
September.
Wants to send his kids back to school, but the state thinks it's unsafe.
I want to send them 7 days a week to make up for lost time, because I need them out of the house. You'll know this. You have a baby, right? Only.
Yeah.
You'll know this in a few years when it's not so cute anymore. But congrats.
But I mean, like, isn't it like kind of determined now that that like kids don't aren't affected by the virus in the same way that grown-ups are?
Yeah, and they don't spread it. They think under 10, they don't spread it the same way grown-ups do. Something about the size of their nostrils or something. But
I think they're just pretty gun shy in America and New York City specifically, because we had like 32,000 people die.
Yeah,
that. I don't think any single scientist wants to be the one to state his claim.
Go out on a limb. Yeah.
And then find out that he was wrong 3 months later and then have, you know, his name taken through the mud. Can this be a theory? I just thought of one.
Okay.
Swedes are you Viking descendants of Vikings?
Yeah.
Okay.
I guess so, yeah. You can
Could
say
it
that.
Be that you all, it's kind of like maybe they all got coronavirus. You know, those Vikings were up to no good a long time ago. Maybe they can't. Maybe you guys are born with immunity to all these things inside of you, because what your story you're telling us does not match up with anything else in the
Vikings
world.
Vikings have done it. They have. Okay.
So we're getting into genetics and the.
It's a little dangerous where your territory is going. Actually,
I have no idea.
You're stronger.
I think we want to believe that. But
Fuhrer Sparks over here with his theories of.
I mean, look at Bjorn Borg. He wasn't a Viking warrior, but he
won Wimbledon and French Open in the same year. That used to be impossible in that era. That was two different services.
Yeah.
There's got to be immunity in that.
11 times over. I was going to say, do you guys have gyms open this whole time? Is that where you're getting your great vigor?
No, I think some of them closed, but I think some have been open. The ones close to me have been open the whole time. So.
That's what you saw the governor of Florida, Turner, who was saying that he wants to keep the even though in Florida it's as bad as New York was at its peak, he wants to keep the gyms open because he said physically fit people are in better shape with the coronavirus.
Yeah, but fat people go to gyms.
That's true. That's the problem with
that
theory.
It's not
like
only in shape people go to gyms. It's people trying to get in shape.
Well, I was saying Sweden would show that he was right, but you know, they're just, they don't have fat people.
What about professional sports? Are those open?
They started the football, the soccer season, but without crowds. So there's no people in the.
Okay. So what about you? What's the, what would be your advice then to us before we move on to you?
Should we live and let live?
What's the advice for Americans?
Four more years,
it sounds like you're saying.
But my feeling isn't the problem with, we have a different healthcare system. So I guess that's, without
they've sort of made our coronavirus like they just made it all like you can get tested and all that stuff for free. And they
oh yeah, what's testing like for you guys?
Oh yeah, and yeah, and also the tracing. Do you have the tracing, or do you just have?
I'm not really sure. I think we have tests, but I don't think they're free. Actually, I don't know. They haven't been advocating
getting tested.
They don't have masks. They don't get tested. Wait, so you don't do that whole contact tracing thing, which is here, where they like. I was just in Maine for the weekend, and every time you go out to dinner, they would take your phone number down, because if someone got positive, they would then call you.
So that's what they do in China as well.
Yeah, they don't do that in Sweden.
Is this even the same disease? I don't even. It sounds like you.
Wait, Kevlin, I think we've gotten to the bottom of this. I think again, this is Trump. If you don't test, there's no cases.
You're proving Trump's theory. Oh my God, he needs to know this.
If he loses to Biden, he's going to run for president of Sweden.
Yeah.
He's going to apply for citizenship immediately. Okay, so do you don't know anyone who's been tested or anything?
Oh yeah, I have a couple. My wife tested for coronavirus.
Okay, so you can't get tested. It's not like they're not testing anybody.
But they actually, in the beginning, they weren't really promoting it in any way. Now people are testing, but isn't like in the U.S. Isn't it the weird thing is that it's all like different states have different tactics and stuff. Like in Sweden, at least the whole country kind of has the same tactic.
Yeah, it's a complete mess. Every state has their own tactic, their own plan. And then there's also no hard borders between the states.
So
you can go from one state to another freely. So you can go from a state that doesn't care about it, that isn't doing anything, to a state that you can go infect people in the next state whenever you want.
And the problem is that the states that didn't have it bad in the beginning, they were locked down in the beginning. And then they were like, oh, we don't have it bad. So they opened up real fast, as Turner said. And now all the states that are getting killed. Whereas in New York, we took it more seriously in the beginning because we had all these cases. So we're doing better over here. But
so when does it look like comedy? Like, when can you get back on the road touring and all that kind of stuff?
I'm hoping soon. I mean, we moved up all these gigs and all this stuff that we were doing, and most of it's moved to October. So I have some things that have been moved up to August, and so I hope they'll take away the 50. The 50 people in the audience restriction. If they take away that one, then at least you can have like a 200 seater show or a 400 seater or something like that.
Yeah, there's not really an opportunity. You can't make a living off of 50 person shows.
Yeah, that's too hard, I think. So at least if they take away the 50 one, then at least like comedy can get back to going, and at least like smaller like bands and stuff like that, smaller theater stuff.
Good because nobody likes big bands anyway. They're all sellouts. Yeah, true. All the indie bands and indie comics.
And what's it like for you touring around Europe? Like, is there what's? I mean, I know your act. Like, you're a seasoned comedian, so I'm sure your act doesn't have to change country to country. But is the perception of you different depending upon where you are because you're Swedish? Just in general from audiences. Like if you're doing a show in Finland and then next you're going over to Iceland and then you're going to Germany and then are they looking at you? Are some countries like, oh, wow, the rich Swedish guy's coming. And then in the next country, they're like, oh, no, they're like looking down on you. Like, does that happen?
Well, I think the good part about being Swedish is that we're kind of, people don't have that much hatred towards us in general. Like people think like Björn Borg and ABBA, and it's kind of nice things that you kind of associate to Swedish people, Volvo and Zlatan, and you know, it's kind of harmless things.
ABBA, like I said,
it's like, you know, you take a country like Germany, you might think of something else, you know.
Yeah, you think of Boris Becker. I mean, Jesus. Steffi Graf.
David Hasselhoff.
Yeah.
I don't think of anything else with Germany as a Jewish man.
So I think that's the kind of the advantage of being Swedish doing comedy, is that, you know, I can basically talk about anything because people know quite a lot about Sweden, to differ from certain countries where people just don't know anything about it.
Well, you don't start any bad wars too. So there you go. That's a good, you know.
Yeah, we just kept out of all of yeah. So,
And why, so your album in Iceland, I was listening to it the other day. I remember when it came out, I think I heard it kind of right away when you released it, but it's great. And why did you decide to do it in Iceland? I know it was 6 years ago, but it's the only one I could find in English. So let's talk about that one.
I think I put up another my Swedish show on Spotify, and I really liked the kind of album, like the sound, like just listening to stand up instead of watching it. I think it's kind of you when you take a subway ride or something like that, and you can just listen to jokes. I think that's kind of I like doing that, and I listen to a lot of American comics, so I kind of felt like I wanted to do the same thing. And then I was in Iceland, and because of it's so easy to record sound to differ from like filming stuff. So I just felt like I'll just make an album with all my English. And actually most of the jokes were kind of old that are in that one. So I kind of felt like I wanted to post them and kind of, you know, write new jokes in English.
Just get it out and get it over with so you can move on. Yeah. Yes. I actually remembered because the first time I met, the only time I met you in person actually was, I think you were vacationing in China.
Yeah.
And I had just started what ended up being like a comedy club in China. But at the time, I think we were just doing a couple shows. It ended up being Kung Fu Comedy Club. And you came through, and all of us had done comedy like six times in our life or something. And you, I don't know, you'd been doing it, I don't know how many years at that point, but you were a comedian and we were just like idiots trying to tell jokes. And it was great. You did this like killer set in the Drunken Clam in Suzhou, China. And I remembered your Usain Bolt joke. Mm. And then I went back and heard it the other day when I was re-listening to your album. And I was like, I remember this one.
Yeah.
It was great about how the Swedes are slow, but they have the fastest man on earth. I mean, no, the Jamaicans.
Jamaicans, yeah. That's,
Usain Bolt is not Swedish, right?
It's a great band. Was it when you came and did our show in China, I think I remember you saying that was the first time you had performed in English. Would that be correct or not?
No.
Oh, it wasn't? No.
When was this? I can't remember.
I mean, 2000? I want to say 2010, 2011.
Is that far bar?
Maybe 2011.
Okay.
Yeah. So
yeah, maybe, yeah.
Are you translating jokes at that point, or are you writing these jokes in English?
No, I kind of both. Like I have kind of two separate, like a Swedish stand-up routine and then the English one, and some of the jokes don't translate to either way. Like some of the English jokes don't translate to Swedish, and some of the Swedish jokes don't translate to English. So I kind of keep them apart, so they're kind of different. But some jokes, like the Usain Bolt, that one's quite easy to kind of translate. So I did that one in Swedish too. But
even like way back then, early on, I assume early on in your career, you were writing in two languages. You're like, you knew like, okay, I want to some point, I want to be performing for audiences who speak Swedish and then also audiences who don't speak Swedish?
I think it's more like a case of just I'm quite fluent speaking English. I just kind of didn't find it that hard to just translate jokes and do them. And then they also had a comedy club in Stockholm that was English speaking every Wednesday or something.
Okay.
So you kind of got like a good place to kind of rehearse. But I still find it scary to do gigs in English. I'd rather do them in Swedish. So I kind of,
I mean, I would imagine your own, your native language. Yeah.
I think it's especially like when something unexpected happened, like you get heckled or something, it's always, better to do it in your,
you know, comebacks are easier in your, yeah.
What's the fear? What, why is it scary?
No, I'll just, you know, someone will heckle me and I'm standing there going, yeah, what's that word? That thing I'm going to, that's right.
Your mama. What's that word?
I perform once in Chinese, maybe twice, but definitely I remember the first one. It did not go well. And my Chinese was decent, nowhere near your English, but good enough to where I worked in Chinese. I did business in Chinese. Every day when I go into my office, it was all Chinese. But standing on a stage, I did like 7 minutes. And I think I was so nervous. I was messing up words. I was getting like saying the wrong adjective that what I thought I was saying, I wasn't saying. People were laughing at me. It was awful. It was like the worst bomb of my life. And I was like, I'm never doing this again. So the fear in my head that whole time was that what I'm saying, they might not be understanding. They might be understanding something different. And then that fear was realized.
Yeah.
That's exactly what it was. And it was a disaster.
Did you, you said that, you mentioned you listened to your album on the subway. Are subways have been people riding and everything? Is that normal?
Like they're
riding
subway? Yeah.
They ride everybody. Yeah. Oh, you ride it?
Yeah.
Oh, this is amazing.
No mask.
The first weeks it was very, very little people on the subway, but now it's back to normal, I think.
It's fantastic. All right.
That could be our fact right there, people. Tell them, and if you want to ride the subway, go to Sweden.
Go to Sweden. If you want a total freedom, go to Sweden. We should get to the news. To Isaac, MAGA, do you want to stick around? We got a couple news stories. You actually gave us one of them. So
stick around for that one.
All right, Cap, before we get to this, let's play the music.
Play the music.
Back, Kaplan. Isaac had to run. I think it was dinner time over there in Sweden, so he had to take off.
That's the problem with doing things different time zone. I'm getting hungry now, but it's dinner time here in America. It's lunchtime here in America.
It is. So he had to take off. He listened to his album. He's a hilarious comedian.
On Spotify, right?
Four albums on Spotify. He also had a TV show over there, and three of them are in Swedish. One's in English. That's the Live from Iceland one. So listen to that. Thank you, Isaac. I hope you're all a little bit smarter. Now, Cap, you and I will get to the news. First news story of the week comes to us from CBS News. Researchers trained dogs to sniff out COVID-19 infections in just a few days. That's exciting.
Look at that. And now my dog Pancakes needs to get to work because I just saw they're dropping the unemployment number from 600 extra to like 200 in the latest proposals.
They are. That's breaking news. I didn't know that.
Yeah, well, they'll be negotiated. That's what they're trying to do, the Republicans. So if I'm making a less money a week, I need Uncle Sam. I need Pancakes Kaplan to pick up the slack around here. And I'm
time
sure
for Pancakes to get a job. Huh?
I'm sure she could be. If I could train her to sniff it out, we can make some bucks.
Are they paying dogs for this?
Well, I'm sure you think dogs just donate their time like as goodness of their heart? Like,
well, here's my question. I don't know. That's a good point. But why does it take dogs? This feels a little long to me. You know, like dogs can sniff out a bomb at the airport in like 2 seconds, but takes them a few days to sniff.
Said it took them a few days to train them, I think is what it means.
Oh, I thought the sniffing part.
It takes a few days to train them. And once you've got them trained, then they can do it immediately.
This is genius.
Yeah.
You can put them at the airport. You can put them at basketball game, at sporting events.
We can open the whole country back up. Maybe Sweden. We could send some dogs there just to be safer.
Now, the ideas of what type of dog? Not German shepherds, right?
Why? You'll think the German shepherds they're good at sniffing out,
Well, that's what I'm saying.
Undesirables.
There's some historical reasons. Like in the 60s, the cops had? You know, we want to stay away from those. The civil rights.
You're right. That's why we need Pancakes.
Yeah,
Morkies didn't exist in those days. There wasn't even a breed. So it's a perfect dog. It's got no stigma.
Golden doodles.
And they
how
get
about those.
And it's got to be a dog that can go undercover because we know there's people who are in America. We didn't even talk about how it's in America. People are very nervous about giving away their information. They don't want to. I don't know if that's the case in Sweden, but Americans may not agree to let a dog test them. But if a dog like Pancakes can go undercover, she walks in a park. Every girl, at least in the park, wants to pet Pancakes. And, you know, so they come running over. She can sniff them out immediately and you can just tag them. They can't get away.
Great.
I can throw like a handcuffs on them and be like, you're coming to the wagon.
Or one of those like fishing nets.
Nets.
Yes. Throw a net over them.
Throw a net, put up a wall right around them.
Yeah.
A border.
You have it tied to the back of the hub of a pickup truck.
Yeah.
And the pickup truck just drives away and they're
that's
in the
bait.
Net.
Pancakes is classic bait for
classic bait.
Because every man who's in so that's going to get away half the population. All the girls are going there who have it. And then they've probably, we have to assume that their husband or boyfriend or anybody, anyone in their family, they got to go away too. And what kind of dog do we need to get men to pet undercover? What's the move there? I don't know.
It can't be a little, it's got to be like a, some kind of a basset hound or something.
Yeah. Or train a dog to walk around with like a free beer or something that'll bring it. Yeah. Just get their attention.
Spuds McKenzie.
Spuds McKenzie. Yes.
Yeah. But also I think having these at sporting events, I mean, the Philadelphia 76ers, whenever people are allowed back in stadiums, they should have these dogs out there so they can sniff.
The Georgia Bulldogs have an advantage now as a football team. The college, they already have a train that.
The British Bulldog wrestler. Woo.
Yeah. Oh yeah,
he's got one. So Cap,
dogs are amazing. I don't understand how it works, but there's a special smell, I guess, and you know,
it's great news. Next story.
We solved it. Trump solved it again. We knew he would.
Trump solved it again. Next story comes to us from the Daily Mail. Bubble trouble, Kaplan. NBA bubble. NBA player Lou Williams admits to going to an Atlanta strip club when he left NBA's Orlando campus to attend a funeral.
Yeah. So well,
what happened was, let me just explain it for any of the non-NBA fans out there. The entire NBA right now is, they've decided to all live in
Disney World
in Orlando. And it's like this imaginary bubbles around them. So they can't leave. That way they can all, they've all been tested. They don't have coronavirus so that they can keep the coronavirus out by all living in here. This guy left under the guise of going to a funeral when he actually just went to a strip club. Am I right on those facts?
Well, I think he did go to the funeral too. I think he went to the funeral, but then after a funeral, it's like, what do you want to do? You go to the, you're at the graveside.
Yeah.
You can go back to that house to like console the family and eat their food, and which seems dangerous, or you go to strip club. If you had that choice, what do? You're depressed. You're obviously someone he loved who passed away, I assume. So you say, I need a little pick me up. What picks me up for him? It's the old strip club. So what? You can't begrudge him.
I don't see an issue with it. I mean, as we know in China, they have strippers at funerals.
Right.
So that's, well, what are you supposed to do if that happens? See, this is a slippery slope. What happens if the next, what happens if Wang Juju is still in the NBA? He goes to a funeral. And then the strippers are there.
At the funeral. Well, yeah. That's why the real loophole, and I think that's why we need to talk about what the NBA should do and all the sports leagues should do, because these are athletes and these guys are, you know, they're red-blooded athletes here. They need
red-blooded Americans.
They are not going to be locked away for months on end without anything. So they need to have strip clubs in the bubble, like a mini strip club, like out in the Hamptons during party times, during good times, restaurants will set up a pop-up restaurant they'll set up in the, so like they need a pop-up strip club. They bring in strippers. They do the same thing. They take tests. They are all,
you know what we call it, Kaplan?
Yeah. What's that?
Community spread.
Exactly. That's name a great name. And you have to have enough strippers. So there's variety. So some of the players have their favorites and they can get them when they go in, but they also can mix it up.
Yeah.
And I think that solves the problem because, you know, this guy, he loves a strip club. I don't know if you saw, but Lou Williams has, he had a wing named after him at the strip club. So this is his regular place. He feels comfortable there.
This is his Cheers.
This is his Cheers. They need to create a Cheers inside Orlando. So just open one up and have, and because the other, what they could do is the teams could hire strippers to be like coaches or something that they're allowed to have in, like a loophole. But that's just like, that's not good. That's not as,
that's a Band-Aid on a dam.
That's a Band-Aid. They need an actual, because I'm sure in Disney World, there's all these bars and clubs that are just not open right now.
Yes.
There's a lot of spaces.
Epcot Center.
Yeah, that's the thing. When I went to Disney World, I mentioned this on the podcast, the guy told us that at Walt Disney World in Magic Kingdom, they still don't serve alcohol because Walt Disney would roll over in his grave if there was alcohol there. He never would allow it.
Yeah.
But at Epcot and at Hollywood Studios and all the other places, they allow booze because that's the loophole they got around.
Game on.
I'd say no strip clubs in Magic Kingdom because Walt Disney's memory.
Yeah.
Put them
in honor of Walt Disney.
Put strip clubs in Epcot. They could do them themes. If you want to do themes, Japan,
around the world,
around the world, you can really get creative with your part.
Yeah.
Just make sure there's testing and,
of course.
Problem solved. Commissioner of basketball, Michael Kaplan and Turner Sparks.
I love it. Last story of the week comes to us again from the Daily Mail. This is like a how to, this is how to uninvite guests from your, wedding day.
Right.
Because without having a falling out with them.
Right. Because a lot of people, I don't know about you, but I've had about 6 weddings just to go to this summer. They've all been postponed. But one of them did the thing where they actually had the wedding and they basically uninvited me. They invited about me and about 150 other people, they claimed. So they just had the fit wedding with less people. So they went
Can
ahead.
I tell you what, Kaplan, if you uninvite me from your wedding, I couldn't be happier.
Yeah, you don't have to get a gift.
Yeah, exactly. I don't have to
drive somewhere, stay somewhere.
Drive, stay, get a Winnebago, whatever it might be. You have to do any of it. Right now, the logistics of getting to a wedding are almost impossible.
Yeah.
So if you tell me, sorry, you can't come, fine. And here's the other thing. If you decide to have your wedding on Zoom, you can invite like triple the people.
Oh, a Zoom wedding. Is that on this list here? Is that one of the advice columns?
I don't know, but people go to Zoom weddings now. And why not? It's a way to save money. So anyway, this entire premise, actually, Kaplan, because I think if you disinvite someone from your wedding, they're going to be happy. How important do you think you are?
Well, this is going on the premise. Maybe women, they like to go to weddings, especially women who aren't married yet. They want to go to the wedding. They want to be there. They want to feel important. They want to catch the bouquet.
Let me say this though. Just to catch myself. I enjoy going to weddings, but under the current climate, just disinvite me. Fine.
Yeah. Yeah. So you're easy. You're number one. They don't list you. They go with more of like a, what is the first thing they say here? Have to cut down on numbers. Tell people, don't make it personal. Just tell them flat out.
Hey, we had to cut down our numbers. Hey, Kaplan, I'll try them on you. Hey, Cap, what's up?
Yeah, well, I'm excited for your big day. Can't wait.
Yeah, you're not coming.
What do you mean? I already got my suit shortened and everything.
Yeah. Oh, that tuxedo I told you you had. I know you own a tuxedo, but remember I said you had to rent one because
we had to get a different one. Yeah, yeah.
You know, my fiance, she wants everybody to look exactly the same in the tuxedo. Well, you're going to have to return that. It's non-refundable, by the way. I've already checked. So don't worry about that. You're not getting your money back. But you're not coming. We had to cut down on numbers.
Oh,
now, does that sound good to you?
I understand. You have to
understand.
In this climate.
It's not personal.
And you know what? You just combined one and two because you know what their other piece of advice is?
What?
They say to call uninvited guests personally. Don't send out a mass email. So you just did that right thing.
A mass email?
Yeah, you did the instinctively right thing. You called me personally to tell me the news. So I appreciate that. If you wouldn't email me that, I would be pissed.
What kind of savage is doing a mass email? If you're reading this, you're not invited to my wedding.
Go fuck yourself. Yeah. Please send I'm still registered at Bloomingdale's.
Exactly. We are still accepting gifts. At Bloomingdale's. Yeah. And whatever Macy's, if it hasn't gone bankrupt, gone bankrupt.
God. And then it says, it also says to send wedding favors to people who aren't invited anymore.
How about you save it? Yeah. Here's your sunscreen. Because, you can't come to our beach wedding, but you can sit in the parking lot next to your house and put on this.
I just found the wedding favor from Tyler and Anna's wedding, your brother, about 15 years ago. It was a CD. That's how. With music that they liked on it. So I was appreciated that with their picture on it. That was a good favor. Yeah. Maybe you can't send out a CD still. I guess that's not interesting. You know what it also says that you should do? I think this is for people who are going, but it says you should provide personalized face masks to the wedding.
Personalized?
That's like the new wedding favor. I think that's all the rage.
With their name on it?
Maybe you get a wedding. Yeah, for Jews, we're up on this because we always have personalized yarmulkes, the little hats we wear. So Randy spent a lot of time planning our wedding, making sure we had the right yarmulkes. Really had a look at hundreds of, so that's the new thing is, and this is for everybody, regardless of your faith, is masks. You get your name on it, you get the date. That seems like a perfect wedding. That's like two things in one stone. That should be the favor. You send that to everybody, even people aren't coming.
Even the people aren't coming. Can I read the last one? So this is what you tell the people who, this will be our last one. You tell the people who aren't coming, you disinvite them from your wedding. You go, you can't come. But then you encourage them, no gifts.
Gifts?
Encourage them not to bring a gift. I see that here. Well, it's a way of asking for a gift. You know, the way you ask for a gift is you say you don't want a gift.
Yeah.
We all know that.
That's the way. You're still getting a gift because people, you know what you do? This is the move. You say, please don't bring a gift. I had to cut the numbers because I really want. So you remind people that you dropped 150 people off your list. They still made the cut. You don't want a gift, but now you're telling the person that I lost out on 150 gifts.
Yeah, so you better bring a gift.
You better bring a gift because you're so important to me that I wanted to risk an outbreak to have you on my special day.
Yes.
And I'm giving you a personalized mask. You got to bring a gift.
It's pretty great.
Yeah.
Kaplan, that's it. That is the episode. That is the podcast. As you all can probably tell by listening, we are trying out this new style. We're tweaking it a little
bit. We're trying to educate our guests a little more.
Weber told us to use, or else we'll get kicked out of Hollywood. It's not retooling, is it? It's something else.
Oh, yeah. He got mad when you said retooling, I think.
Yeah.
Retooling. You never admit defeat in Hollywood.
Yeah.
I say this. We accomplished all we could accomplish with that. The first format was amazing. It was great. The second format, in like, I don't know how many episodes, six episodes, we solved
what
America.
Was the second one? Oh, about the towns.
Yeah. It was like, we went everywhere we need to go.
Now, we've been without format for the past 15 episodes or so, right? We've been talking to people about current events. And now we're kind of combining the last two. So we're going to see how it goes. We're going to be tweaking as the show goes on. We would love to hear your feedback on, as long as it's positive. We don't like negative feedback. But as long as you have feedback, we'd love to hear it. I think Kaplan's froze, so I'm going to go ahead and close the show out. Thank you all for listening. For Kaplan, for myself, for...
I'm back. Hey, I was Kaplan. Just off the air. I just lost connection, and now I'm back.
He's back. I was just closing out the show because you were gone. For Kaplan,
I'm never going to miss a closing episode.
Cap, what should we do?
We're still going to get lost.
Thank you, Isaac Jansen. Get lost.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Catch those springtime vibes all over Arizona. Break out of the winter blues by hitting the water at one of our lake and river parks. Take a hike among the wildflowers. Just make sure to stay on the trails and leave the flowers for the bees. Discover Arizona's best kept secret and visit azstateparks.com/amazing to start your springtime adventure.